When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale. With everything you do for other people on one side, and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
It never gets old. It really never gets old. I've been asked the question before, if you were stranded on a desert island with only three songs for the rest of your life, which three would they be? Well, this would be one of them, the classic Star Wars theme from John Williams. Right now, trending on Twitter, May the 4th, Star Wars Day, and May the 4th be with you. I'm going to use all of those hashtags on Thursday, May the 4th. Some of you already sending me photos or memes or logos or pictures that revolve around Star Wars characters and Star Wars lore. I know some of you sent me tweets about it, but I already knew this. So thank you for making sure I am informed. But Carrie Fisher is getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on Thursday, May 4th, because of her status as one of the most beloved characters and icon, really, from Star Wars history.
Somebody has to say Mushkins.
You may remember, this is just awful. I was actually in a Star Wars movie. I'm going to have to go back and look, but I was actually in the theater watching a Star Wars movie when Carrie Fisher passed away. It might have been Rogue One that my family and I went to see in Houston, and she passed away at the same time I was in the theater, because we came out and we saw the news. It's just devastating, even though I didn't know her personally, but everything she meant to me as this strong, smart, opinionated female who would take the lead, who wouldn't take no for an answer, who is stubborn, and yet at the same time was full of heart. Love, love, love. Not only her as a woman, as an icon in her business. Carrie Fisher wasn't just about Star Wars. She had many other talents, whether it be live theater, whether it be writing. She was in other films, of course, countless projects. But her character, too. Princess Leia was really a character that so many young girls and women, like me at the time, could look at as a role model, could emulate. I adored her as a little girl and still all the way through. She was in a character and a role that was groundbreaking, and she owned it. And she is missed. I know her daughter will be there for her star, the unveiling of her star on the Walk of Fame. And she, of course, her daughter, Billy Lord, was part of the most recent Star Wars movie. So the two of them had a chance to act together, which I think is really special. Every time I watch the newer ones, I always look for the scenes with her daughter. And actually coming up this weekend, movie date, Bob's really deferring to me this week. I think he kind of understands the importance, but he's deferring a bit this week. We were originally going to go in chronological order. We are going to go in chronological order and watch Star Wars together, which is fun. But we decided to go jump to the newer ones, one of the newer ones for this weekend, just for fun, because they're entertaining and they're they do feature some of the original characters, but obviously feature the new characters too. So we're stepping away from the prequels and jumping into one of the late movies, and then we'll go back. It makes sense in my brain. Poor Bob, he's having a hard time keeping up, but it makes sense to me. So yes, trending on Twitter, May the 4th be with you, and Star Wars Day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I love all of the various photo arrays and memes and GIFs that are out there right now. It's like every single sports team, if they know what's good for them, is jumping on May the 4th. Whether it's a Star Wars Day, whether it's just a different color arrangement to a particular photo or poster. David sends us one from Notre Dame baseball. It says Irish May the 4th, or it says May the 4th around Irish baseball. And it's got the backdrop as the universe, and half of the baseball is the Death Star. It's very well done. A lot of you, thank you, David, for sending that. A lot of you have already reached out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page, too. Past the midway point of this show, it's not all going to be about Star Wars as much as I would love it. No, we're going to stick with the playoff theme and a little bit of that football talk, because voluntary OTAs are going on, and for some reason, all the quarterbacks were yapping on Wednesday.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Yes.
Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Kansas City. Hand off to Eckler again. No. Herbert keeps it. End zone. Touchdown. Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
The NFC North is wide open. At least I think it is. Now, you look at the various teams in the division. In May, it's possible to envision a variety of a variety of scenarios. That's the word. How this division might play out. I could see Detroit picking up where it left off. I could see the Vikings beefing up their defense to add to what was a fantastic offensive year in 22. I could see the Bears being much improved. They've certainly gone deep. The number of draft picks and some of the signings they've made. Packers, I have no clue. I don't know what we're going to get from Jordan Love. And it certainly seems like there's not nearly as much buzz around the Packers, but maybe that's good for them.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Kirk Cousins speaking to the media on Wednesday. And, of course, there's always rumors around Kirk. Doesn't have a new contract. Vikings are seeking his replacement. I got to give him credit. He doesn't get fazed by it anymore.
You know, you're always looking in the future. You're always thinking about different options. And I think everybody's got to do their due diligence. And so, I'm looking forward to this year and wanting to, you know, go out there and prove it again and do it again and play at the highest level I can. And that's really where my focus is.
Kirk Cousins, along with Deshaun Watson, one of those quarterbacks who did receive a fully guaranteed deal. Now, his nowhere near what Deshaun Watson got, but at the time it was considered an aberration, potentially groundbreaking. Really didn't turn out to be that, but he was the first guy to sign a fully guaranteed contract. And he went through a lot to get to that point. Remember, he had been franchise tagged by the, at the time, Redskins. More than once, he and the Washington football team, could not come to any kind of an agreement. He had to leave there to start fresh. I mean, there was a lot that went into it. But it's not as though he's uncomfortable in these contract situations because of the twists and turns that his career has kind of navigated, and a lot of them revolving around the discussion of whether or not he's worthy of a big free agent deal.
This is my fourth time in this league going into a season with free agency on the horizon, my fourth year after my rookie contract and the 2 years in Washington after that, and now this. So I would just say that to say it's more the norm than the exception. Yeah. You know, I think the exception is that you have something penciled in for future years. Most of our locker room has no idea what's coming in 3 or 4 months, let alone 3 or 4 years or next year. So I feel like I'm one of the guys, if you will, like we're all in this together, and that's the way this league works. And I think it's part of what makes this league great, because everybody has an edge. Everybody's working. Everybody's got something to prove, and nobody can operate with entitlement or comfort and put in less than their best. And I think that's a great thing about our league.
It's certainly nice when you have a bunch of dynamic receivers around you, though it will look a little different coming up in this 23 season. Yes, Justin Jefferson, he's worth the price of admission, to be sure. But Adam Thielen has moved on, right? So no more Adam Thielen, the guy that he was really comfortable with. They've got Jalen Reagor. They've got Jordan Addison. There's a bunch of new names in there. KJ Osborne, too. Now, TJ Hockenson, remember, he was a trade from the Lions to the Vikings last season. So there's some familiarity there, but a lot of turnover. And so we'll see how that offense comes out in 23. But more importantly, they had to do something about their defense, because their defense was porous and was really their Achilles heel last year. Kirk himself had more than 4,500 passing yards. Dalvin Cook had nearly 1,200 rushing yards. Justin Jefferson over 1,800 receiving yards. So they were sixth in the NFL in passing yards, and they were top 10 in the NFL in points scored. But they gave up a lot of points themselves, too. And so just there was a real disparity between offense and defense. You can only ask your offense to do so much. Staying in the NFC North, Jared Goff, a resurgent year in 2022. General Manager Brad Holmes speaking out about a possible new deal for Goff.
We've had dialogue there, and we've had dialogue with, you know, his agent. We're in a good place right now.
Okay. Not a lot of intel there, but good to hear from Brad Holmes. It seems like whenever there are one or two, in this case two, big contract extensions for quarterbacks, the chatter then is stirred up with all of the other QBs that are within, I don't know, 8 years of potentially needing a new contract. So Justin Herbert's name keeps coming up. Tom Telesco, the Chargers, he was on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and he was asked this question about these new deals for Lamar and for Jalen. What impact do they have, or do they impact the timing of Justin Herbert's next deal?
Anytime there's a contract signed, that's going to be part at that position. Yeah, it's going to come up in conversation. I wouldn't say there's any quarterback contract out there that's a blueprint. I wouldn't say that at all. But like anything else, and Bill knows this, like, you know, there'll be contracts that are talked about, and, you know, we'll cherry pick some things out of that contract we like. The agent will cherry pick some things out of that contract that he likes. But in the end, we'll get to a compromise at some point of something that works for everybody. And that's what we'll do here. I don't know when it will get done. I don't really have a time frame for it, to be honest with you, but we'll get there.
Tom Telesco on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I can't imagine that they need to feel any type of a sense of urgency, because he still would be a year away from actually needing a contract extension. But for now, there's a lot of talk about it. And as you can imagine, the GM of the Chargers, the GM of any team with a high-profile quarterback, one that they want to keep, well, that's always going to be top of mind.
A gangster quarterback.
Oh, goodness. Now, Ryan Tannehill, there was a lot of talk this time last year that he would be on his way out of the Titans, that by a year down the road, meaning now, he would be on a different roster. But that Malik Willis draft pick did not play out, at least not yet. And lo and behold, the Titans go and draft Will Levis early in the second round of this most recent draft. So now they've taken quarterbacks in each of the last two rounds. Ryan Tannehill, a little bit of deja vu after seeing the team pick Levis.
We've been down this road before, so it's definitely a little bit of deja vu.
Oh, I said that.
But like I said, Mike and Rand make those decisions. My job is to go out and try to win football games.
The feeling is that, you know, you're looking to add premium players at all points in the draft. And, you know, that was a player that was high on our board, certainly at a premium position. and somebody that we wanted to work with and add to our team and provide competition. That's what the draft is about. Trying to add, young talent, and certainly at premium positions.
Did you all hear the story about Will Levis and what happened with him after he was left in the green room? He was one of a handful of players that did not get taken in the first round on that Thursday night. And so instead of remaining, he decides to leave. So he leaves Kansas City. He has all kinds of travel delays. I believe he lives in Connecticut. So he's all kinds of travel delays. For whatever reason, he lands in Newark, New Jersey, and has to drive then home to Connecticut on Friday. The family, probably family and friends, they've got this big party plan because they were expecting to be celebrating the fact that he was taken in the first round, that he was a high draft pick. It doesn't happen. He's delayed in getting home. He walks into the party at the exact same time the call is coming in from the Titans that he's being selected early in the second round. Roller coaster ride of emotions, to be sure. But he is now a member of the Titans. And yeah, how does this affect Ryan Tannehill? I don't know. But Malik Willis currently listed as number 2 on the depth chart. Levis would be listed as number 3. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. CJ Stroud is the pick of the Houston Texans. Love what they did with the offensive and defensive punch. Moving up to grab Anderson. Was it Will Anderson? Will Anderson with the number 3 pick. And so they end up getting 2 cornerstones. But CJ Stroud, why is he the right guy for the Texans? Here's Nathaniel Dell.
Right after the combine, we was texting each other and stuff like that. And he was just telling me, like, man, he talked to me after the combine. He was just like, boy, I like how you run routes, like how you play football. He said he'd been watching me and stuff like that. And then I told him vice versa, and I appreciated him and stuff like that. And then, I think it was like after he got drafted, I sent him congrats. Then I was like, tell him come get me. I told him, tell him come get me and stuff like that. And then he was like, I got you, trust me. And then the next day, I think he called me, he FaceTimed me out of nowhere. Like I texted him. Yeah, I texted him and he FaceTimed me. And then he was like, man, I told him I want you, yada, 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 this, that, and the third. So I was like, okay, it can happen. And then, I got that call.
Well, you know why he's the right guy for the job in Houston? Because he got Nathaniel Dell a job. this is funny stuff. And Dell is actually a guy who went to college in Houston. So he attended University of Houston, a local product, if you will. And he was then chosen in the third round. So the reason that CJ Stroud and Nathaniel Dell are a good combo and already in cahoots is because Stroud went to bat for Nathaniel Dell and got him a job. I love that. I think that's a great story. Texting back and forth. Hey, tell him to grab me. Tell him to get me. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Just to talk about a little bit about the situation in New York, we kind of saved the this is the best for last, but we saved this group of players gushing about Aaron Rodgers and his impact on the Jets, even as he's taking part in voluntary OTA, something he hasn't done in a long time. Quincy Williams, Aaron Rodgers is practicing.
I ain't gonna lie to you, I was kind of starstruck at first because it was like we warm up right next to each other. So it was just like, I was like, hold on, coach, let me just take a little minute, take this in, watch a few throws a little bit, and send them in the green. So just took that in a little bit. It's like, all right, now let's get to work so we can get them more opportunities to throw the ball.
Just seeing him in the huddles, it's still a surreal feeling. But, when you have a guy like that, future Hall of Famer, 2-time MVP, he knows. He's been in the game for so long now. He knows how to handle the huddle, cadence, plays, all that. So it's a lot easier, him just being calm and everything like that. But overall, talking to him a little bit, he's a great guy. Seems like a very chill dude as well. And seems pretty even keel. And I feel that's, important for any quarterback in game. So far, it's going well, and we're excited to get in camp.
I saw him in the weight room my first day, and for sure.
Oh my gosh!
Takes a little time, just to realize. Still, probably hasn't sucked in all the way until I caught the first ball from him. But yeah, that's a legend right there. And that's a Hall of Fame player, and we're all blessed to be able to. This is something 20 years from now, 30 years from now, I tell my kid, I play with Aaron Rodgers, yeah, you know, I try not to think about it too much at this point, you know, just because we're going to work and he's my teammate and that's got to be the mindset. But the reality of it is it's awesome, man. It is awesome to be, you know, having someone like that around the facility and you know, I just can't wait to keep working.
No wonder Aaron Rodgers is so happy in New York. They're all kissing the ground that he walks on.
I think I'll be able to throw pretty good to him, about 60 or 70.
Garrett Wilson. Before that, Elijah Vera Tucker, who's on the offensive line, and Quincy Williams, who's starstruck over Aaron Rodgers. That's fantastic. One more. Sauce Gardner, the most recent Jet to be lucky enough to attend a Knicks postgame or Knicks playoff game with Aaron Rodgers, who was very popular when he was shown on the big screen every single time they had a break. The Knicks beating the Heat. I suppose he should get credit for that, too, in their second game. So, Sauce Gardner, what is it like to hang out with your new QB at Madison Square Garden?
And it was great, you know, just being able to be around a veteran guy like him, you know, a down-to-earth guy who, you know, I didn't know he was that funny. You know, just being able to spend some time with him. It was great, man. You know, everybody knew who he was. So it's like I was able to just try to be in his shadow a little bit. You know what I mean? So, but it was a great feeling.
I didn't know he was that funny. I didn't either, actually. A little bit of QB news to whet your appetite, because why not?
People are coming here to play with me.
Yeah, yeah. It might be early May, but the schedule comes out a week from today. May 11th, they had to wait until the Jets officially made the trade for Aaron Rodgers because they needed to know exactly how many nationally televised games the Jets could have. I'm telling you, I've set the over-under at 9, and I'm going over. Jay is going under. I am going over. I'm going 10. I'm going double figure nationally televised Jets games.
Oh, my gosh. 10 times watching the Jets on national
TV. Well, you're the one who pointed out that they play the NFC East this year, which right away makes them a little more high profile. Don't they play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, that's true. We don't know. But there's been some chatter that they play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's
how much you want to bet the broad, I guess the, sorry. How much do you want to bet the broadcast partners already know what the schedule is? And so that could explain why we heard he who shall not be named crowing about a Thanksgiving Day game in our newsroom between the Jets and the Packers. Not Jets and Packers. See, I'm going to do that. The Jets and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know how early they know, but I'm sure, I mean, that seems to be the consensus of like, that would be a home run game. So, makes sense.
Just because of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, his ego had already been boosted by back-to-back MVP awards in 20 and 21. And now he's got New York eating out of his hand.
Egomaniacal.
That's for sure. You can say that again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. You're blowing it up. We're asking you, which team finishes with a better record next season, the Jets or the Packers?
How could you possibly?
This is Flea for This Little Light, a podcast about falling in love with music. I started a nonprofit music school about 20 years ago called the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. The reason that I started doing this podcast was music education. I'll be speaking with Rick Rubin, Thundercat, Stuart Copeland, Margot Price, Corey Henry, Cynthia Erivo, Sheila E., and Patti Smith.
Please listen and follow This Little Light, a presentation of Cadence 13 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Somebody say that.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, what's going on? I love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, enjoying your show, Amy. I'm normally not up to hear you, but you got a hell of a show.
Thank you.
Hi, Amy. I remember talking with you when you very first started on CBS. You're such a superstar.
Amy, thank you for taking my call. First time calling. Listen to your show every morning as I travel into Boston.
First time caller in any sports show ever, so you are kind of taking my sports show virginity right now.
Okay, but well, that's not creepy at all.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I suppose I could have tacked this on to QB News. The Bengals have signed Trevor Siemian as a possible Joe Burrow backup. Trevor Siemian, along with Jake Browning. In other words, Joe Burrow better not get hurt if the Bengals want to have a snowball's chance in Hades. Siemian was with the Bears. They released him before the new league year started. Now, obviously, he was with the Denver Broncos going back several years, and he did start a bunch of games, but never really hooked on there. However, it's a relatively small league, small world, if you will, inside the NFL. And the offensive coordinator for Cincinnati was on the staff with the Broncos when Trevor Siemian was there the first few seasons of his career. And get this, something else that I found out about Trevor Siemian that I did not know. He actually is another quarterback that does not have an agent. Maybe if you're Trevor Siemian and you don't know how much money you're going to make in the NFL moving forward, you don't want to give any of it away. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of giving money away, did you all see the story about Rory McIlroy? He decided to take a little time away after he missed the cut at the Masters. So he went into the Masters, of course, as one of the hottest players on tour, and he was a favorite. Not just for a huge season in 23, but to win a green jacket. But he missed the cut at Augusta National and decided that he would take a break from golf.
A needed break for me. Just, I think, obviously after the disappointment of Augusta, and then it's been a pretty taxing 12 months mentally. So it was nice to just try to disconnect a little bit and get away from it. But, you know, it's nice to come back and feel refreshed and, yeah, I think we're on a pretty, you know, pretty busy run here from now until after the playoffs. So, you know, I'm excited to get going.
Mentally and emotionally, was it taxing on you that warranted the break?
Yeah, I think just you know, a combination of a few things, and I think just after, you know, the disappointment of Augusta and how I played there, it was just Yeah, more for my, you know, mental and emotional well-being. I just needed to be at home for those few weeks. And, you know, but as I said, looking forward to getting back at it this week.
Now, the reason I mentioned the money aspect of it is because this blew me away. I don't know if you remember that the PGA has kind of retooled the way that players can earn bonuses. It's a direct response to the LIV Tour. And he is part of the PGA Tour's Player Impact Program. But when he skipped this event in Hilton Head the week after the Masters, he skipped it. It's one of these designated events by the PGA Tour. And all the top players on tour are required to show up and be part of these designated events. So if you miss more than one of them, right? So you can bow out of one of them. But if you miss more than one, then you lose 25% of the bonus money, which totals $12 million. So by skipping the RBC in Hilton Head, he gave up $3 million. Now, it was a bonus. He's made a lot of money in his lifetime. I just can't imagine skipping an event and forfeiting $3 million that you would get just by showing up. It's Monopoly money. It's a different stratosphere. to the point where you don't blink over giving up $3 million. Whoa. Jay's behind the double pane glass is shaking his head. We can't even possibly begin to relate to that.
He doesn't even have to drive himself there. Just get someone to drive you, a plane, a car, anything. Just show up and you get $3 million.
Well, show up and play. He would have to play, but he plays golf.
Golf. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, no. I got to go play a round of golf.
It is a grind. I will say this. You hear it from a lot of players, which is one of the reasons why so many departed to live, because the schedule isn't as taxing and they felt like they didn't have to be playing every single week. We know that was a common reason that we heard from these players that departed for live. But the idea is that the PGA responded with this kind of newly designed player impact program. And you've got to be at these dozen new events, or they're not new events, but designated events. They're newly designated. And he said, I signed up for this designated event series, and I knew the consequences. $3 million. Rory said he actually did petition the commissioner of the PGA and asked him for, you know, a special waiver so he could miss. But I'm pretty sure that I saw it earlier on Wednesday that Jay Monahan, who's the commissioner, confirmed, oh, no, he's definitely forfeiting $3 million. $3 million. Now, he still gets nine. Does that make it any better? I guess that makes it better. If you're getting nine, but you're only giving up three, well, then okay. I could live on one for the rest of my life, as in $1 million. I could live on it for the rest of my life. I could make that stretch and last for the rest of my life. And he is giving up three, but he's getting nine.
I still can't see giving up $3 million as
either.
Winning.
That's the difference between us and Rory.
And no, he's definitely winning. So
nine. He still gets nine. Maybe we focus on the nine instead of the giving up of the three.
It's just the fact that, like, all he had to do was just go, literally not even drive himself to a golf course, and he would have gotten it, and he didn't do that. So,
and it's Hilton Head.
It's such a nice place. Like, why wouldn't you want to go play it anyway? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Jay and I we do not have the same mindset as Rory. He gets nine, but he gives up three. It's outrageous. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. May the 4th be with you. I love that it's trending on social media.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Just
like fire. Hey, how's it going? First time caller here. I really enjoyed the show.
Hey, what's going on, Amy? I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I usually don't like national shows because I listen to all of them. Some of them is a bunch of idiots that just running their mouth just to talk and everything else. But I like you already.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Amy. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks, Gare.
I'm a 10-year NFL veteran. I wanted to thank you for being so knowledgeable on every level of sport. Thanks for the great show, and I look forward to listening to you every morning. Just like fire, burning up the way, rocking like a world up for
just one day. Watch this madness, come and push away. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It warms my heart that right now my social media is full of support as I get ready to run a half marathon on Sunday. You all are very kind. Thank you for rooting for me. But also, you know me well. May the 4th references. Right now, May the 4th be with you is trending on Twitter. It's got to be one of the best days on Twitter. I'm going to spend not all day because I will be sleeping most of the day. But when I wake up, I'm going through and I'm going on a like fest. I'm going to like all of the different Star Wars references and fun memes and GIFs and photos and arrays that I see. It is Star Wars Day. Happens once a year. Unfortunately, I don't have the luxury of sitting around and doing nothing but watching Star Wars on Thursday. But you know what happens next year, Jay? In 2024, I don't actually know if it's a leap year. Whatever. In 2024, regardless of whether or not it's a leap year, Star Wars Day will be on the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
That is what's up.
Because it's Thursday this year. It's Thursday in 2023, which means it will be either a Friday or Saturday coming up. I'm going to look it up just so I know. February. What? May the 4th, 2024. It is Saturday. So it is a leap year next year. Okay. So then May the 4th will be Saturday next year. And I will spend my entire day celebrating Star Wars.
That will be a day dedicated to the couch and Star Wars.
No, dedicated to Star Wars. Anyway. Oh, yes. We know. We know all about it. Stop it. So, those of you who know me well, you're sending me tweets. I'm just so happy. I'll be looking for the pictures, the photos, the GIFs, the memes coming up all day. Well, all day. Coming up on Star Wars Day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're getting them on Facebook, too. It's good stuff. It's a big test for Bob. Although I think Bob's been cheating. Because Bob has made these kind of clandestine references to how it's a big week for me. And so I think he's probably going to play it off as though he knows when in fact he's been listening to the show. And so for that reason, he hasn't mentioned the show this week. So I think he's hoping that I believe it's a special day for him too, which is why
he's trying to sneak it in there that he remembered, but he's getting these clues throughout the week.
He's picking up clues from the radio show and not, I wouldn't say we're hiding it. We've pretty much said that he has to pass this test with flying colors.
The stakes are known.
Yeah. It's pretty high stakes. You want to be with me, you got to be celebrating Star Wars Day.
What would be the cutoff to getting a text from him? Like what time until it's too late?
Until it's too late to acknowledge Star Wars Day.
Right.
Now, I'll give him until I wake up.
Oh, okay. It's
because there have been times, this is so like goofy and cheesy, so whatever. I don't care if you call me goofy and cheesy. But there have been times over the course of our first 2 months as an item. Should I call us an item? We're an item.
It works.
No one says that anymore.
People say that. A pair, an item.
I can't wait until he sends me a text on Thursday about how we're an item. I know we're a thing. Our thing. It's just, I like item better. Anyway, there have been times over the course of our Monday anniversary, so we're all cheesy. We acknowledge every week that goes by. I'm sure it will wear off at some point, but Jay.
Maybe. Happy 647th week. Oh, I almost forgot.
I'm acknowledging that we're cheesy, okay? It's early in the relationship, but also we're long distance, which means that we count the weeks because it means we're also counting up toward the next time we can be in the same place. Fine. I acknowledge that we're sappy and cheesy, whatever. But there have been times over the course of the last 8 weeks that he's not acknowledged until the afternoon. And that's okay, as long as it's on the actual day, which is Monday, by the way. Mondays don't suck nearly as much as they used to.
Well, that's good.
Because our anniversary, well, it's really the anniversary of our first date. That makes Monday so much better. Mondays are, there's something to look forward to now.
A day of celebration.
All right, but not every week. Sometimes I'm still cranky. But this past month, it's been Anniversary Monday and Syracuse Monday. So it's kind of a lot to look forward to. But anyway, the fact you asked me the question, the fact that he sometimes waits until the afternoon, it's all right. Cause I wake up in the afternoon. And so,
but will you talk before then? Probably.
Oh
right?
Yeah. If I didn't hear from him on this Thursday morning, something would be up.
I feel like it's gotta be mentioned in the morning.
You do? You feel like it must be acknowledged before I close my eyes and go to sleep?
I do. I think it's gotta be like, cause I know our day.
What
is
if he's
like,
got a busy day and he's got stuff on his mind?
No, he's gotta start his day by acknowledging the fact that that it's May the 4th and it's Star Wars Day. Has to.
Wow.
That's the only way I see it.
And what happens if he doesn't? Should I be docking him points or what?
I mean,
changing his birthday gifts? I mean, not baking for him? What?
No, I wouldn't be that cruel. But if he doesn't do it, if he does it later when you wake up and you see it, all right. Like, but did he really pass the test? I mean, because he's got to know. Like, he's got
to
be.
He could have listened on the way to work and then known.
Could have seen it
right.
Anywhere.
Okay. Oh, true.
Anywhere.
He could have seen it on the internet. Can I ask you another question since you're a male?
Sure.
Is this, speaking of cheesy and sappy, I know that he's going to be spending Mother's Day weekend with a bunch of his family. Mm-hmm. You know how much I love to show off my baking.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I would bake a bunch of different cookies. Some of them I've already made, actually. They're in the freezer. They're waiting to be sent. And I would send them to Bob with instructions to take them to his family weekend. Is that cheesy?
No.
I'm sending oatmeal butterscotch because Bob loves butterscotch. Oh, it's butterscotch Bob. That's it. That's it.
Sorry, Bob.
Sorry, Bob. You are from now on butterscotch Bob. So oatmeal butterscotch cookies, a few of the oatmeal chewy bars, the caramel chewy bars. I actually made them for my students, but I have a few left over, so fine, his family could have some. And then I'm making one of your favorites, the island cookies.
Nice.
And I'm sending a big package of cookies to him so he can share them with his parents on Mother's Day, but also his brothers and family that will be around. What do you think? Is that... I don't know. Over the top?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that's a good move from you.
Do you?
I do. I mean, you got to trust Bob that he'll bring the cookies to the family, because if you send me all those, I might just pocket them and
no,
say,
you
I don't know.
You're
she
a
didn't
liar. You share them with your family when I send them home to you. So I've done this for you before. I don't really have ulterior motives. I don't.
No. I mean,
I do want his family to like my baking, but that's not really ulterior. That's overt. It's an overt motive.
Which they will, of course. I mean, I don't think I've met anyone who hasn't. So.
Just admit it. Your family likes me because of all the baked goods. They don't really know anything else about me, but they like me because of the baked goods.
They do look forward to the baked goods.
Jay could go home ranting and raving about something that we disagreed on, or he felt like I didn't treat him well, or here's the thing. He doesn't get enough credit for
That's
the show.
It.
And his mom would be like, it doesn't matter. We love her cookies. They are totally on my side because of the cookies and the baked goods.
Yeah, that's with most things.
They're on my side with most things.
Just not mine.
Whatever. I'm on your side with most things. Zip it. You're just mad because somebody suggested that you don't get enough credit for the show now. So Jay's holding it against me. He's developing a tood because he thinks doesn't get enough credit for the show. Please. Seeds have been planted.
Cookies
Evil
are good
seeds.
Move.
It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.